I trust everybody here has got a King James 1611 Bible, amen. That's what we preach from. If you don't have one, when I go to reading, you're going to feel out of place. And so that's all that we use here for faith and practice, is that King James 1611 Bible. It's the final authority, by the way. It's not what I might think or you might think or what somebody else might think, but it's what God has already said, what He's already spoken in His Word. And that is the final authority. There's no doubt about that. Well, I'm going to try to finish up Psalm number 90 this morning. If you'll turn your Bibles there, Psalm 90. And we'll try to finish up this wonderful prayer of Moses, the man of God, it says. The prayer of Moses, the man of God. And we'll try to finish this up here in the morning hour this morning, okay? And we're going to begin reading with verse number 11 this morning, all right? Verse number 11 in Psalm chapter number 90. The psalmist said here, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." Now may the Lord have add His blessing to that. Let's look to Him in a moment of prayer this morning before we try to preach, okay? Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful this morning for the Word of God. I realize it is forever settled in heaven, and it cannot be altered or changed in the heart of God. Man may tamper with it and write new versions and translations, but it's already settled in your heart and mind. And I want to thank you this morning that you've given us a copy of thy word that we may have to read and preach from, to be a blessing to our life, to correct us, Lord, and to comfort us, to lead us in times of need and direct our lives, Lord, when we're seeking for thy will. I pray this morning, Lord, that this book that I've read and the Spirit of God that dwells within me would bless me and fill me, Lord, and make me a blessing to your people. I pray the Holy Ghost would breathe upon this congregation today. And Lord, that you'd meet the needs of every heart, the longings of every soul. You'd satisfy, Lord, all that's here today with the blessings of the Lord. Show us your mercy, your kindness, and your grace, and the forgiveness of sin that we have in thee. And Father, we'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated, all right? Okay, I want to read it for our text verse, verse number 12. I think I've got that in the bulletin this morning, where Moses said here, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now, the title of the psalm, it says it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And so that's what I want to preach on this morning, is the prayer of Moses. Now, in the early chapters of this psalm, really, they are simply preparatory verses to what Moses is getting ready to say unto the Lord and the request that he is going to make unto him. And in these first 11 verses, 10 or 11 verses, what we really find is Moses setting a contrast between God and between him and man, between God and man. He sets a great contrast there, and there is a great contrast there. I think many men have made themselves gods, and there is no equal between us and God. And God is eternal. The Bible said that He's from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible said that there has never been a time when God was not here, neither shall there ever be a time when He is not. He created man, and thus he has the power to destroy him. Now, you may not believe that, but in verse, I think verse number 13 will bear me out where he said, verse number 3 up here, he said, "Thou turnest to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men." So God created man, and the Creator has power over the creature. And Moses sets that forth this morning. Let me say, because he is the Creator and we're the creature, that we are to submit ourselves to the authority and the power of Almighty God. There's only one alternative to that, and that's an eternity in hell without God and without hope. That's the only alternative. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow, every heart shall bow, and every knee shall bow, and every heart shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, he created man, thus he has the power to destroy him. In like manner, he also has the power to overcome and defeat all of our enemies. I'm so glad of that. You know, we ought to give God the glory for that this morning. I think that we entertain the idea so often that we're in this battle all alone, but I want to say to you that we're not facing the devil alone. And we're not facing the world and its temptations alone. And we're not facing the lust and the flesh that it has alone. I'm glad the Bible said that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so there is a power far greater than the world, the flesh, or the devil that is working for us, and that is God. And by the way, he's not just powerful, he is all-powerful. Amen. He's all-powerful. You can write that down in your little black book. Now, on the other hand, man is just temporal. Man is temporal. The Bible says so here. His days upon this earth are brief, and his sins has made his life miserable. Now, if you're saved, you can understand what I'm saying. If you're lost this morning, you have no earthly idea what I'm referring to. But I'm telling you, sin will make you utterly miserable in this life. The devil will try to tell you that you're having a good time. And the flesh will try to convince you that you're having fun. But I'm telling you, the life of sin is a miserable, miserable life today. A life without God is miserable. That's why he said that he come into the world that we might have life, and then that we might have it more abundantly. He came into the world to give us joy, and he prayed that his joy would remain in us. And it will, hallelujah, if we'll let God work for us in that way. And so life is miserable. Man is weak and man is frail, and he has no strength to maintain life except through God. May I say, there's no other way to heaven except by God. Ever since the creation, man has tried to improvise his own way of making it to heaven or providing for himself eternal life. And you know how he does that? The same way Adam and Eve did, by trying to hide and cover up his sin. Adam and Eve, when they had sinned against God, they sold him little fig leaves, got behind a tree, and covered up their nakedness and tried to hide from God and thought they had covered their sin and everything was all right. Now, I'm telling you, men and women still do that today, ladies and gentlemen. They try to cover their sin and hide their sin and try to make believe in their heart and their conscience that everything is all right that God cannot see. But may I say to you that the all-seeing eye of God can see. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth, beholding both the good and the evil, and the Lord does see everything. There's nothing that misses God. There's not one thought that proceeds from our mind that God misses. There's not one thing we do that he does not see. One place that we go that God does not know about. Amen. God knows about it all. And so man is very weak and frail. And no man, the Bible said in the book of Psalms, no man can keep alive his own soul. And so, hey, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Boy, I'm glad of that. Thank God. His reason for coming into this world was to glorify the Father by saving sinners by his precious blood and by the marvelous grace of Almighty God. Now, the petitions. I want to get into this prayer of Moses and the prayer, or may I say the petitions probably, that Moses makes to God are numerous throughout the rest of this chapter. But I think they can be brought together and probably summed up under three gracious requests that he makes here. There's actually more than that. I may mention them this morning if time permitted. But if you'll notice in verse number 14, he says there, "Oh, satisfy us." That's one request. He said, "Satisfy us." And then he says in verse 12, "Teach us." Teach us. In verse 14, he said, "Satisfy us." And in verse number 15, he said, "Make us." And in all these are all three requests that Moses, the man of God, has made unto the Lord. Now, somebody said, "Preacher, are we to request things from the Lord?" I think we're talking to God about everything. I won't say if there's one area in our life that we're weak in, it's in this thing of prayer. I'm afraid that we fail to ask. The Lord did say, "Ask and you'll receive." Jeremiah said, he said to Jeremiah, "If you'll call unto me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." And the Lord has given us great reason to pray today. And if there's an area of all of our lives, I believe I can say that about every one of us. I believe I know you as well as I know myself, most of us. And if we have a weak point, it is in this matter of prayer. And it ought not to be avoided. Prayer is a time when we come in contact with Almighty God and communicate with God. We make our requests known unto God. We pour out our heart before God. May I say there's public praying and there's private praying. And private praying will get you a whole lot further with God than what public praying will. Amen. We all are to take time out to pour out our soul before God. Tell Him in secret the things that are on your heart. And you don't have to worry about Him gossiping to somebody else about what your sins are, what your problems are, what your feelings are. I'll guarantee you He'll keep them to Himself and He'll take care of them for His own glory and for your good and your blessing. And so we ought to take time to pour out our soul before Almighty God. Now, the request here, Paul said in Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And so the request that he makes here in verse number 12, he said, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Now, I want to start off with saying that man with a stubborn will and with a high and a haughty spirit is very difficult to be taught. Some people you can't teach anything to, not even God. But Moses here said, "Lord, teach us." That tells me that he had a teachable spirit and a teachable heart, and was ready to learn what God had to say to him. Folks, we are to be ready to learn everything that God has to say to us. God is teaching us or has taught us out of this book, and what God says in there, we ought to be ready not only to receive, but we ought to be ready to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God. But man with a stubborn will or with a high and a haughty spirit will never submit to being taught. Now here's what he requests there about. Here's what he asked him to teach. He said, "Teach us that life is brief." I wonder if we really realize that this morning. That life is so brief. Well, I think we've got the idea that we're going to live forever. That is right. That's exactly right. I think we have the idea that we may live forever. We might be alive today, ladies and gentlemen. Are you listening to me? We might be alive today and the grave may be our bed tonight. Or we may lie down in our bed tonight and the grave may be our bed two nights down the road. I want to say to you that life is very brief. The Lord said so here, "Man's days shall be 70 and 10." But if reason of strength 80 years, and he compares that to God's life that is eternal, and I'm going to tell you, when you compare 70 years to the eternality of God, that makes our life very brief and very short. Oh, it may seem to you when you're growing up and young that life is a long time. But I'm telling you, I've been there, done that, got a t-shirt. Now I'm telling you, life is short upon this earth. And we better be doing all that we can do for the glory of God. Amen. And for Christ, while we have an opportunity to do it, and God has afforded us the privilege of doing it, we better do all that we can for Almighty God. Amen. Now, all men count all men mortal but themselves. In other words, what I'm saying is everybody's got the idea that everybody else is going to die, but somehow I'm going to make it through it. And I know that's right, but that's wrong. But that's the thinking of man. Everybody else is going to die, but I'm going to make my way through it some way. But I'm telling you, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Friend, if you're not ready to die, you better get prepared to die, because I'm telling you, as sure as you're living, death is coming your way. You might as well mark that down. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. I don't know anybody in the Bible in the old days that hadn't died. I read in Genesis where the Bible said, and so-and-so when he died, 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 and so-and-so when he died. I don't know but two men that got out of this world alive, and that was Enoch and Elijah, and I've got a funny feeling that during the tribulation, they're going to be those two witnesses that lie in the street of Jerusalem that will experience death during that period of time. I tell you, nobody's going to get out of this world alive, ladies and gentlemen. Death is coming now. And Moses said, Lord, you teach us now, teach us that our life is brief, that it's very brief. Now, I won't say that it is. It's just like a vapor that appears for a little while and then it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. May I say, secondly, he said, not only teach us that life is brief, but he said, Lord, teach us that life is uncertain. He said, teach us to number our days. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. You don't know when you're going to die, and I don't know when I'm going to die. And the Lord is certainly not saying there that we know when we're going to die, so we ought to number down the road and see how many days we've got to live. What he's saying is, well, you better compare yourself to what I just said about God and His eternality, and what I've said about you and how short your life is, and you better realize, amen, you better realize that you don't have long on this earth. And so your time on this earth better be spent in applying yourself to wisdom. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, understanding and wisdom. Said, with all thy getting, get understanding and get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, is what the Bible said over in the book of Proverbs. Amen. So God wants us to be wise, and we ought to spend our days doing the best we can to get a hold of a little wisdom within our own life. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, amen. Amen. Every man acts though he had a certain future guaranteed unto him. And I want to say to you that your future is not guaranteed one at all. You're not guaranteed to get out of this building today. The only thing that's guaranteed to me in this life is the fact that when I die, I'm going home to be with the Lord. But I do not know what tomorrow may bring. Now I'm telling you, you don't know what tomorrow may bring either. It ought to be your prayer today, the Lord, teach me to number my days, because they're brief and they're uncertain, Lord. And I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I'm glad, thank God, amen, I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know, amen, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm glad, thank God, I know who holds tomorrow, and God holds tomorrow in His hands. And if He holds tomorrow in His hands, thank God that He holds you and I in His hands as well. That's what the psalmist is trying to say here. We better learn to make sure that we're in the everlasting arms of Almighty God. Amen. And life is uncertain. We may be here today and gone tomorrow. That is right. Listen to what James said. You know these verses. James said, go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what's going to be on the morrow. And I've used this illustration a number of times, but I'll use it again. There was a rich man in the book of Luke in chapter number 12. He said, I know what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to tear down my barns, build bigger barns and fill them up and eat and drink and be merry for the rest of my life. And the Lord said to that man that night, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I mentioned this the other night. I want to mention it again. Can you imagine how that man felt when he went to bed that night, knowing that God, a friend, God had already told him that that night, he was going out to meet God. Now, I'm telling you, he was unprepared. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that man didn't try to pray and get a hold of God all night long and ask God for forgiveness. But I'm telling you, there comes a point in a man's life when he can cross God's deadline, and praying will not do you, absolutely not do you one bit of good. He told that man, this night thy soul shall be required. In other words, I'm coming after your soul tonight. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. I'm going to tell you, the moral of that story is we better forget preparing for life here and start preparing for life on the other side. That's the wisdom God wants us to get there. Life here is so short that we better begin to prepare for what's on the other side rather than prepare for this life and what's on this side. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we all about got the mentality of that rich man. In other words, we want more and more and more. All the time wanting more. Come on, you can say amen to that. That is our mentality today. But life is brief. Teach us, Lord, that life is brief. Teach us, Lord, that life is uncertain. And then teach us, Lord, that life is a time of preparation. Amen. He said to apply our hearts to wisdom. And so life is a time of preparation. I've already said that. That we ought to spend our time in preparing for the other side. Somebody said, well, I am prepared for the other side. Hey, this world is a great school, and our life in it is educational, and we're here to prepare our character for eternity. Now, did you get hold of that? We're here to prepare our character for eternity. Somebody said, oh, I'm already ready to go. Well, let me ask you something. How is it in your heart this morning? Are you really ready in your heart to go out and meet God? I wonder how many people in here this morning have angry passions in your heart that still need to be quelled. You'd be amazed at the people that's got a temper and a fuse about as long, bless God, as my little finger, and that ain't very long. I mean, they can go off in a New York minute. Are you listening to me? I wonder if somebody like that is really ready to go out and meet God. If we're ready to snap in a minute at anybody, are we ready to meet God? Oh, I'm telling you, there's anger in our heart. There's hatred in some folks' heart. Come on in the house now. There's animosity in people's heart. There's jealousy in people's heart. There's sin in people's heart that need to be made right. And if there's one sin in your life that has not been confessed to God, you are not ready to meet God. Amen. This earth, this life is a time of preparation to make ourselves right, to get right, get saved, grow in grace, get sanctified in the Lord and set apart, get all the sin out of our life that we know anything about, and be teachable in our spirit and learn to walk with the Lord daily in our Christian lives. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure that we have evil hearts or evil habits whose power must be broken. You'd be surprised at the habits that people get themselves into that are evil and sinful. Well, they don't seem real bad, not in the eyes of man, because man's a guilty sinner. But I wonder how they feel in the eyes of Almighty God. Somebody said, I don't have any habit. I hope they know you weed suckers in here. Amen. Cussers, country music listeners too, rock and rollers. I called a fella that sometime back that used to be in my old outfit in Vietnam, and he's a lieutenant. I said, sir, how you doing? He said, Paul, I'm still rocking and rolling. I said, buddy, I'm going to tell you what. You better get saved by the grace of God. One of these days they'll roll you in a hole and that'll be your last rock. Set a rock over you and that'll be the last one. Amen. Say amen right there. That's right.
He didn't know what I was talking about. He said, what are you talking about? I said, man, you're going to die. You better get ready to meet God. You're going to die. Amen. I think that kind of shook him up a little bit. He didn't feel like talking too long after that. But I'm going to tell you, most of us have besetting sins that got to be conquered in our life. I'm talking about them little sins that we pet around on and love and will not turn loose. There are some sins that must us in most people. There's at least one sin in most people that they're unwilling to turn loose of. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, you'll grapple with that, but it can be conquered, and God wants it to be conquered. Until it is conquered, we're not right with God.
Amen.
You'd be surprised at the men that have a passion for other women. Boy, it's going to get quiet now, ain't it? That's right. That's why it's important, men, to be home.
Amen.
With your honey.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Be at home with her. Now, I'm just telling you, you work out and stay away from home. Don't you tell me the devil can't tempt you. I know better than that. I wasn't born yesterday. And bless God, I'm still a man.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm telling you, men, ain't there a man or a woman in this building that is not susceptible to the temptations of the flesh and the devil and enticed by the devil this morning that cannot sin against God? You can. I'll guarantee you can. You'd be surprised if folks got passions for other women. Amen. Maybe women got some passions for other men. I'm talking about conquering besetting sins in her life. I'm talking about, he said, teach us, Lord. Teach us to prepare ourselves for heaven. Teach us to apply ourselves unto wisdom. Get us ready to meet God. Oh, that is what this life is all about. That's why it's so short. It is about nothing but being born, getting saved, and living for God. And I won't say if you hadn't made a trip to Calvary, hallelujah, like Miss Sharon sang this morning, I'm glad, thank God, one trip up Calvary's mountain, it'll cover it all. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. That's right. One trip up Calvary's mountain, boy, will cover every bit of it. Isn't it good to be saved? Thank God. Amen. I just about run my head through a wall when I think about what God done for me. How much God loves me. Not how much He loved me, how much He loves me. Amen. We sang a song on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. I'm just going to be honest with you. It didn't stood. It stands. Now you get a hold of that after a while. That's where every sinner's got to go, by the way, to get saved by the grace of God, to Calvary. Now I'm going to tell you, that old rugged cross in the mind of God will always be there for sinners to go to. Oh, I'm saying that don't make you happy this morning. Somebody said, well, preacher, do we need to go to the cross? Absolutely. It's the preaching of the cross that God's chosen to save those that believe. It's foolishness unto them that are lost, but I'm telling you, unto us that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Bless His wonderful name. Cross is not foolishness to me. I like to sing about it. The old rugged cross, at the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light. That's God for the cross. Amen. Thank God. I believe I called Brother Chuck the other day and he had that stuff on his telephone and it had a song for him. Might have been the old rugged cross you was playing on her. I don't know. I said, well, hallelujah to God. That's something nice, ain't it? Amen. That thing rang, starts playing the old rugged cross to you. That's a pretty good testimony, ain't it? Thank God for the cross. See, sinners need to know about the cross.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, and Baptists that are saved need to praise God because of the cross.
Amen.
Had it not been for the cross of Christ,
Amen,
the sufferings of the Son of God,
Amen,
and the blood that He shed and the life that He gave, we'd all be headed for hell.
Amen.
But I'm glad, thank God, He died and went to the grave and rose again. Amen. And He's soon coming back for you and I.
And
have been to Calvary and been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Bless His name. I can just about push this thing and pull up and plumb out on the floor this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Thank God for the old rugged cross. Amen. When I made that trip up to the cross, I just began to live and it began to teach me, hallelujah, how to live right, walk right, and spit right. Amen. I know that's exactly right. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, there's deficiencies
and imperfections in all of us. Our moral power is feeble. Our spiritual aspirations are kind of irregular and weak. That is, it will raise up and fall down spiritually, raise up and fall down, raise up and fall down. That's our spiritual aspiration. We ought to be spiritually inspired to be aspired by God. Amen. And let our spiritual aspirations rise. That is, want to know more about Jesus. Woo. Amen. That's right. Want to know more about heaven. I like that song the choir sings. Sing me a song about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah to God. If you're going to tell me any kind of a story, tell me a story about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad he came into the world in a manger. Amen. Out of a womb of a virgin. Thank God, walked the shores of Galilee, healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind. Thank God, and saved sinners, and called men to carry the gospel around the world. Amen. There's not a greater story to be told. And he went to an old rugged cross, died there with our sins, nailing him to the cross himself. Thank God. Went to a borrowed grave and come out of it 3 days later. And thank God he's got the keys to death and hell hanging right on his girdle this morning. That's his wonderful name. Amen. That's right. So God wants to prepare us. He said, teach us, Lord. Prepare us for these things. And then he said, not only, Lord, as one of his requests was to be taught, but one of his requests was also in verse 14 to be satisfied. He said, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now, notice what he said there, satisfy us early. That little word early don't seem like much, but it's got a big significance to it. In the Scripture, suffering and distress are always frequently set forth by the emblem of night. But the word early, or morning as it is an emblem of salvation and joy. Oh, Lord, satisfy us early. Amen. Thanks be unto God. I want a little joy early. Amen. Not late, but early. Are you listening? The psalmist said in chapter 30 and verse number 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but thank God, joy cometh in the morning. Satisfy us early, Lord. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. May thy mercy satisfy us. Thank God, I'm telling you, his mercy satisfies me. And I'll say a little bit more about that here in just a minute. Hallelujah. But I want to say a couple of things, and I'll give you some illustration. And I'm going to tell you, under the displeasure of God, there can no man can be satisfied. If God is displeased with our life, we cannot be satisfied. There's no way. If God displeased with what we're doing, how we're living, there can be no satisfaction. You know why? That wrong that we're doing will always invade our mind and stay there in our mind. And we cannot be satisfied with that being there. And I want to say, secondly, if any soul is satisfied out of God, that soul is dead. If you can tell me this morning that you're lost or that you're satisfied and God doesn't have anything to do with it, you're lost, friend. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. You'd be amazed at what men claim satisfy them. The psalmist said, I will be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Amen. That ought to prompt us to want to be more like Jesus. Amen. Get ourselves away from the world. Sin. Be more like Jesus. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Oh, praise God. One of these days we will be satisfied. Now, I want to ask you, what satisfied some people? What satisfied some people in the Bible? I want to say, first of all, only God can satisfy the unutterable yearnings and the quenchless aspirations and the profound cravings found in man. Only God can satisfy those things in man. That's right. There are so many people today that are longing for something. They're yearning for something in their heart. And they'll try to find it in everything. That's why these kids out here are on dope. Their heart yearns for something in life. And they're trying to satisfy that yearning with dope. That's why men try to satisfy that yearning with liquor. That's why, come on now, that's why men try to satisfy that
the honky-tonking and crowds that are running around. There's something in you that is you're yearning for that is lacking. And I'm telling you, if you're lost today, it's God that you need that will fill that void in your life and will satisfy the yearnings and the longings of your soul. Amen. Amen. Thank God. When I got saved, I got satisfied. Amen. That's right. When I got saved, I got satisfied. I don't need the honky-tonks and the bars. Praise God. I plan on taking that crossbow and going down there at Brother Simpson's a few weeks, sitting in that little hut down there and running back and hoping one of them big buck boys will run by. Put the hammer on that bird, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to get out in these honky-tonks and bars and run around. Oh, no. Thank God. I'm telling you, I got saved. I got satisfied. Somebody said, Preacher, how were some people satisfied in the Bible? Mary was satisfied just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Can you imagine that? Every time the Bible talks about Mary, she's sitting at His feet.
Amen.
Now, that would be boring to a lot of people. But she found great satisfaction in sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing the words that He spake. For no man spake like this man spake. That is exactly right. That stranger from Galilee.
Amen.
Praise God, they came and they were blessed. From that stranger that sat by the sea. That stranger from Galilee. That came walking along the shores of Galilee one day. And eyes began to behold Him. And voices came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. He began to touch the eyes of the blind and open them and unstop the ears of the deaf and cleanse the lepers. He come to go and begin to go against the grain of the religious Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day. They found out real quick that he wasn't involved in religion. He was involved in saving the souls of men. And after he saved them, he was interested in blessing those that he had saved by his wonderful grace and satisfying them all the days of their life. Hallelujah. Amen. Mary was satisfied just sitting there. Boy, that'd kill some of you guys, wouldn't it? You got to be on the run constantly and on the go. I used to be that way, really, until I got older. I kind of like that green chair over there now. Amen. Miss Hall said, you'll die sitting right in that green chair. Well, I couldn't think of a better place to go out and be shot than in my green chair. I'm satisfied sitting there. If you're satisfied, what more can you ask for? There's nothing in it. There's no plateau any higher than being totally satisfied. And all Mary had to do was just sit down at Jesus' feet, and she was satisfied. I'll say secondly, that the woman of the well was satisfied in his sayings. That woman came to the well to draw water and began to talk to the Lord. And they began to talk about that water. And Jesus said, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water. She heard that saying, You'll be satisfied. She said, Sir, give me this water. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This probably won't get you like it got me, but I saw something there. I saw something there that I had never seen, and I don't know how many times I've read them verses and how many times I've preached out of those verses, but I saw something there that I'd never seen before in my life, Brother Steve. I'd never seen it before in my entire life. Jesus said, He that drinketh the water that I shall give unto him, who drinketh the water that I give unto him, it shall be a well of springing water, springing up unto everlasting life. You realize that he took one drink and turned it into a well.
Amen.
Now, if you get a hold of that,
yeah.
You get a hold. He took one drink. Jesus gave him one drink, and one drink turned into a well. I'm telling you, go to Calvary and just get one drink.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. You get one drink, you want more.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, what I do? Keep on drinking. Praise God. It's a well. Hallelujah. That one drink turned into a well. Just keep going back to the well of grace. The well of grace. The well of grace. It'll satisfy you every time.
Amen.
Thank God for that well. So just one drink turned into a well. Isn't that something? Isn't God something else?
How you can do that? That's marvelous, God. Amen. And so she was satisfied with hearing the saying. She ran into the town, told them men, said, come see a man. Told me all things ever I did, is not this the Christ? And then old Paul was satisfied just serving people. He was satisfied just being a servant for the Lord. That's right. All he cared about was serving God. Paul, servant of God. Servant of God. Servant of God. He knew what it meant to serve God and serve people. And didn't bother him a bit. Amen. Turn on these fans, somebody back there. Will you? I need the fans on a little bit. But he was satisfied just being a servant. And then that third request, said there in verse 15, make us glad. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Now that's important. I want you to stay. Well, I don't want you to miss this, and I'm just about done, but please don't miss what I'm getting ready to say here, okay? He said, make us glad. Make us glad. Amen. That word glad means to brighten up or to cheer up. Yeah. How many folks this morning need to be made glad?
Yeah.
From the looks of you, about all of you. Need to be made to cheer up a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what he's saying there. He's saying, cheer us up, Lord.
Amen.
Cheer us up, Lord.
Amen.
The Lord said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer.
Amen.
In this world you shall have tribulation. But he said, I have overcome this world. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God wants us to have cheer up a little bit. God wants us to brighten up a little bit. Praise God, we come to our church. Well, all of us. I did this morning. I was sitting in there and I said to myself, Lord, I feel dead. Brother Joel was teaching Sunday school and I said, God, I think my heart feels like a piece of rock this morning. What on earth is going on? And Miss Sharon got to singing. I said, Elmer, and I said, Lord, I said, please warm my heart. Warm my heart. I said, make that well spring up a little bit. And boy, she got on that Calvary covers it all. That well began to spring out. I'm telling you, it sprung up a little bit. Amen.
Yes.
That old heart got to jitterating around in there, thank God. I got to feel a little bit better about what was going on.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what, I got brightened up a little bit. That's what God wants in all of us. Come to church and cheer up. Brighten up, thank God. Brighten up. If you brighten the corner where you are, God will brighten somebody else by you.
Amen.
That's right. You just brighten the corner where you are. If we'll all brighten the corner where we are, every corner in here will be bright.
Amen.
Ain't that right? That's right. Now listen carefully. He said, to be glad and to brighten up was a result of mercy. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. Hey, the night of their mourning would end, and the day of their joy would dawn. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you who Moses is writing to here. He's writing to that crowd that went over Jordan. He's writing to that crowd that's just getting ready to cross over. And what he is telling them is, that the night of your mourning, the days of wandering, is about over. And there's a new day about to dawn in your life. Oh, boy, that leads me to this. Hallelujah to God. You don't mind me taking just a little bit of time right here? I'm telling you, we've been in mourning a long time. Praise God, they've been grief and sorrow in all of our hearts. We've all had suffering and sorrow and grief and turmoil and tribulation. I'm telling you, the night, and we've lived in the night season, but I'm telling you, we're on the brink of a new day, don't it? Praise God. Jesus is getting ready to cry out, come up hither, and I'll tell you, earth's gravitation will lose its power and pull on us, and we'll rise out of this earth to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a new day dawn. Somebody said, what are you going to do about Obama? I ain't going to do nothing with him. I'm going to God handle him. Amen. So I said, what are you going to do about Pelosi? I ain't going to do nothing with her. I'm going to let God handle her. Amen. Somebody said, what are you going to do about the devil? I can't do a thing. I'm going to let God handle him. Amen. I'm getting ready to go home. There's a new day about to dawn in my life. Amen. Thank God for that. Yes, sir. We're about to dangle our feet in the River Jordan. Listen to the whippoorwills sing out in the weeds and listen to the turtle doves coo at us. Dangle our feet in the Jordan and watch them sanctified bass go swimming by. Amen.
I'm trying to brother roll. You don't believe it'll be sanctified by us up there? He might let a sanctified 29-pointer come running by me. That'd be good. Brother Steve and Brother Robert, some of you may find a ginseng root up there that weighs 9,000 pounds. Watermelon so big, bless God, you can eat both ends out of it and eat your way through it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Grape so big you can stick a straw in it, suck the juice out of it, and use a peeling for a shower cap. Amen. There's a new day dawning for us.
Amen.
God, hey, we'll be glad. Make us glad, Lord. Make us glad. I can't make myself glad. I can't work it up. And Moses knew that. Moses said, Lord, make us glad. Make that day when they cross that river a glad day in their life. Amen. The wilderness and the wanderings is behind them, and there's a new day dawning for them. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He said, make us glad as a result of thy mercy. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. Amen. Then he said, make us glad as a lifelong experience. Look what he said in verse 14. Satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad, be glad, be glad. How long? All our days. You realize what he's saying? That he wants our gladness, our cheer to be a lifelong experience. That we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Paul said, rejoice! Evermore!
Amen.
And again I say rejoice. When was the last time you rejoiced a little bit?
Amen.
Amen. When was the last time you just got alone and lifted your hands up to Jesus and rejoiced a little bit?
Yep.
When was the last time you come to the house of God and broke out in praise and adoration unto God? When was the last time we really broke out and rejoiced in the presence of God here at the house of God? That's what he's talking about. He wants it to be a lifelong experience for us.
Yeah.
Make us glad all the days of our life, Lord.
Yeah.
Not one day of sorrow. Not one day of gloom. Not one day of darkness. But every day bright and brilliant and beautiful and glorious. Make our day glad. Then he said, make it that our gladness, that it would be in proportion to their afflictions. To their afflictions. Look at verse number 15. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Can you listen to me just for a minute? What Moses is saying is, Lord, for all those days that we were afflicted and seen evil, give us that many days of gladness and joy and happiness.
Amen.
Even it out, Lord. Even out our days. May I say to you in here this morning, some of you may be having some hard time.
Amen.
Going through some trials. Your heart might be breaking and aching in ways that nobody knows but you. But I'm telling you, God leaving it out.
Amen.
God won't cut you short. You may have some affliction and trials, but God will give you some days of gladness as well. And God, He'll even things out in your life. Amen. You listen very carefully to what I'm saying. Moses is speaking about those who had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and would eventually enter Canaan. They had passed through the years of mournful wandering, and he prays for a corresponding number of years of peace and joy. Then he says, make us glad by God manifesting His work on their behalf. Look at verse number 16. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Lord, let us see your work. Let us, our eyes be open that we might behold the work that God has done for us. Human efforts in a good way. When they are made earnestly and in a humble dependence upon God, the blessing of God and the success will not be in vain. It will not be in vain. In other words, your work and labor in God, if it's done with a right motive, it cannot be in vain.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you God will work on your behalf and manifest it. Make it clear and open unto you that you may see that work
manifested on your behalf. And then he said, Lord, make us glad. Boy, I like this. By fulfilling their life's work for Christ. By fulfilling their life's work for Christ. Look what he says in verse number 16. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. In other words, Lord, what I've done, let me see it. Let me see the work that I've done. May it be established. May I see the glory of it. I want to show y'all something right here. And I'd never seen this or thought anything about it until yesterday. But this prayer, in its relationship to Moses, has a very touching significance, ladies and gentlemen. God had told him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Amen.
And he even brought them to Kadesh Barnea, and they didn't cross over into Canaan. And for 40 years, Moses wandered in the wilderness with those people. And I'm going to tell you what. You listen very, if I can find this, what I want to say. He brought them out of Egypt as slaves. And they that were 20 and over died in the wilderness in spiritual slavery. And there's no doubt in my mind that Moses looked at the work that he had done for God and said, I am a failure. God told me to bring them out and take them over. And here they wouldn't go over. Now God has killed them all. They died in the wilderness. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying. It was never his job. God never called him to lead him over Jordan. He called him to bring him out of Egypt. Now most people would think that Moses failed because Joshua was the one that led him over the Jordan into the promised land. Some of y'all in here today thinking, well, what I've done for God's a failure. God, I've just failed God in everything I've ever tried to do. Nothing's ever worked out right for me. I'm just a failure in life. I'm a failure spiritually. Failure. I'm a failure in the family. I'm a failure in everything. But I want to tell you something. A lot of times, are you listening to me now? A lot of times God calls us to do something and we're doing something thinking that's what God's called us to do. And that's not at all what God called us to do. Somebody said, what are you getting at, preacher? Listen carefully. Who was it went over Jordan? The Israelites who went over Jordan. Those that were 20 and under when they left Kadesh Barnea.
Amen.
Do you think the 40 years of Moses was in vain? Oh, no. 40 years Moses spent putting character in those that finally went over. That was his responsibility in life. That's what God called him to do. God called him to build character in those that Moses, that Joshua would finally lead over Jordan. If you can get a hold of that boy, Moses thinking all the time, I got to get this crowd over. And God saying, put on the brakes, Moses. All I want you to do is build some character in these younger people because they're the ones I'm taking over. That's your job. That's what I brought you out of Egypt for. When you're done with them, I'll give them to Joshua. Let him carry them on over.
Amen.
See, sometimes we get our works all confused, thinking God's called us to do something when He's never called us to do that. But something else that's involved with it is really what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Are you listening? Lord, make me glad. Establishing the work of my hands. May God this morning make all of you glad. Establishing the work of your hands. Some of you in here, Miss Hall told me she came over here last night. She'd been out walking. Said some of our ladies was out there last night at 6 or 7 o'clock pulling weeds. And I thought, what a blessing. Some of you ladies have been here nearly every day cleaning in this building. What a blessing. Some of you men have volunteered to clean and vacuum and mop. And so, what a blessing for a meeting. And some of you went out and Brother Foley painted those lines out in the parking lot. You may be thinking, well, you know, this is all I got to do. Hey, you're not a failure in God's eyes. If you're doing right, somewhere down the line, God will establish your work to you. And then, as the Bible says, then will every man be able to rejoice in his own work. That's what Paul said. That's what Brother Paul said. You're not a failure. Sometimes, like Moses, we think we are. But you're not a failure. Somehow, if you're saved by the grace of God, God will work her out. Let's stand together.